Scotty composes herself here. Down the tee, backhand response just over the net. There's the forehand into the open court, and Barty's got to the final. 6-1, 6-3. That's what we ordered, and that's what she's delivered.
So let's start there. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, it's unreal. Honestly, it's just incredible. I love this tournament. I love coming out here and playing in Australia. And as an Aussie, we're exceptionally spoiled that we're a Grand Slam nation. We get to play at home. We get to play in our backyard. And I'm just happy that I get to play my best tennis here. I enjoy it. I've done well before. And now we have a chance to play for a title. It's unreal.
Brett Phillips is here for the super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6. BP, good morning.
Good morning, Kane. I think if you can just replay what I said 2 days ago, and then 2 days before that, and 2 days before that, 2 days before that, and 2 days before that, because it was another replica of what we've seen in the tournament. Just over an hour, straight sets. Found a way to dismantle her opponent. Yeah, one more. Come on, one more.
Indeed, BP, one more. We've been trying to. Such has been her dominance. We're having to remind ourselves she actually has to go out there Saturday night and still play it. It would seem the only thing she needs to overcome, yes, as an opponent out there, will be any nerves or anxiety around winning her home Grand Slam. Such has been, she's wiped the floor with everyone.
Yep, exactly, Josh. I mean, we've sort of said that. I mean, I'm sure, you know, underneath she might be pedaling a little bit quicker, and then, you know, the natural human reactions, butterflies maybe. But I mean, if you're just looking at her and her body language and her demeanour, and you know, we see all the behind the scenes footage at the Australian Open when she's just, you know, having a real, you know, joke with her team, playing some cricket or kicking the Sharon or whatever the case may be. She just looks very, very, very happy and in a good place. The occasion won't overawe her. So I think she, you know, the work that Ben Crowe's done with her has been incredible. And obviously he's, you know, revered in lots of sporting circles. So I think she's got the game. You know, she's done so much work physically to put herself in the best condition possible. And that's the work Ben's done with the mind has just put her in this, you know, incredible space that she can go out and execute and not feel that pressure. But yeah, I mean, I think you just got to keep backing her game in, even if there are some possible nerves. So you just feel like she's going to bring the tools that are going to, you know, dismantle another opponent. I've got to say, though, Danielle Collins last night, she was sublime. I mean, you wouldn't have picked her to make the final at the start of the tournament, but her backhand is world-class, and she is a feisty competitor. I mean, she was right in the zone last night. It's a really good story for her to actually make the final from where she's come from.
Yeah, so does she pose any sort of threat? I mean, I know we keep talking down the opposition to Ash, but is there anything that would have you concerned or not?
Not if Barty is serving the numbers that she can, and when she's on the return, I mean, no one plays that chip return that is not going into a very nice area, which means that, you know, you're hitting on the up, and then you're forcing a little bit too much. And, you know, we saw with Madison, just, you know, the errors set in last night. She just couldn't get into any sort of rhythm, apart from just a couple of small patches in the game where, you know, that they started hitting a bit more regularly and Madison could feed off that pace and redirect and actually, you know, get on the scoreboard and get into some points. But apart from that, Ash just had her measure with that slice. We keep talking about it, but it is lethal. The chip return is lethal. It's Federer-like. I mean, Federer is so good at hitting that that cross-court chip, the half-court sort of ball that brings you forward, and you sort of leave yourself stranded at the net. So, I'll keep backing in the Ash game, Kane. It's absolutely superb.
I reckon that'd be a wise move, BP. Hey, who would have thought at the start of the tournament we'd have another crazy story, and that is the Kyrgios Kokkinakis story, but also their opponents as well, Matt Ebden and Max Purcell in the all-Aussie men's doubles final. We would not have predicted this.
No, not at all, particularly because Kyrgios and Kokkinakis don't play that often, so they get a wild card in. Anything could happen. They knock out all these seeded pairs. I actually sat right courtside after I introduced the players yesterday just to get a feel for the entire environment, apart from a few people, yeah, having to be, you know, piped down by the chair umpire and even Nick himself. it was electric to sit there with a doubles match during the day when normally the women's semis would be played. And I thought, gee, if they can make this a better spectacle. And look, both of them were in sync and next door at Margaret Court Arena. There's only a handful of fans watching Max and Matt, who have had a great tournament. I mean, you couldn't get two more opposite sort of guys. I mean, Matt's sort of the veteran of the two. He has done some commentary with us. He's very methodical, straight down the line. And Max, he's a little bit loose. He's out there. He just speaks his mind, but you know, he's become a very, very good tennis player. He's done a ton of work, and Nathan Healy needs to take a lot of credit for getting his mind right. So, yeah, where will the support be? I mean, you know, hopefully the support will just be for, you know, all the Aussies, and they cheer every single point, and it'll be a doubles final like we have not seen the Australian Open for a long time. You know, having a full house after the women's final on Saturday.
BP, I guess the challenge for these two, Nick and Thanasi, more so for Nick, is actually staying focused long term. But I heard Todd Woodbridge say a lot yesterday that, you know, that they were making the wrong decisions, when to come to the net, when to both be at the net, what to do. They weren't really in sync as doubles players, but their talent was just taking over. If they were able to stay on task, which I know and understand is a challenge, particularly for Nick.
Mm.
Could they become, if they're able to polish up their doubles skills and tactics, could they actually become a dominant pairing?
Yeah, they could. Yeah, absolutely. I know what Todd means, because when you're sitting courtside watching the other pair, just their communication and understanding of who's back, who's forward, the crossover, you know, using their strengths. Yeah, one was, you know, Ceballos was probably a slightly better volleyer, whereas you got, yeah, two guys that absolutely went to work off the ground. Off the ground, they could just do a little bit more damage. And this is why, you know, the other two, well, they were once good singles players, but had just better touch at the net. But no doubt, if they could refine it, but I mean, doubles can be played in, you know, so many different ways. You don't necessarily have to, you know, have you know, all the angles and the touch. You can have the massive serve, and you can be, you know, really dominant from the back of the court and find the openings. But yeah, I mean, I think everyone would love to see them play more. I mean, would it draw a crowd to the other slams if they were together? Absolutely. So yeah, maybe those other Grand Slams potentially might give them a wild card sort of pairing if Nick's going to actually be on the road all this year.
Yeah, I think that's a good point you make in terms of would they draw a crowd, because they panned to the locker room yesterday.
Oh, we've lost Kano. He's finally dropped out. Someone's finally gotten rid of him, BP. He's just saying about whether we'd be able to draw a crowd on the road. And I presume they would. I guess the question, as I was alluding to before, is just whether Nick's actually going to be willing to go through the process of becoming a long-term doubles player. Let's quickly jump across to the Australian of the Year, Dylan Alcott. It wasn't the fairy tale victory for him with his home grand slam, but it pretty much took away nothing, did it? Because his post game speech and everything he's done for the sport and done in the sport, it was more than the fact that he lost that game of tennis yesterday.
Yeah, I've got to say, I was out on court and it was pretty emotional, Josh, listening to Dylan speak. And you know, the legacy is bigger than just one tennis match. And when he gets introduced in the future, you know, he'll always be a seven-time Australian Open champion, 15 Grand Slam titles, Olympics, you know, gold across two Paralympics. So, yeah, it stacks up. And as we know in sport, gee, it's very rare you get to go out with the absolute fairy tale. But credit to Sam Schroeder. I mean, he's now going to take the mantle from Dylan Alcott. You know, he's younger. He'll become the face of quad tennis. And he played a brilliant match. I thought he deserved the win. So, yeah, but, you know, Dylan... look, his legacy will be there for everyone to see, and he'll be popping up everywhere. Every time you turn on the TV or turn on the radio or you're looking at a newspaper or a TV ad, Dylan will be still part of our lives for many, many years to come.
I think Kane's back with us. He is.
Well, I got you. I got you. I don't know if I cut out before I asked you the question about the scheduling of the semi-finals game today, BP. Usually it would be a nighttime fixtures for both. I think I'm right in saying that. And the disadvantage perhaps for the winner of the Nadal-Berrettini game today playing in that 32-degree heat.
Yeah, well, I suppose they've sort of copied the US Open the way they do it. The US Open normally start the first semi-final at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so this is an hour and a half ahead. Yeah, look, you know, possibly, but I think, you know, both have played in a mixture of the hot day conditions and the night conditions across the tournament. So, you know, you just dealt your cards on that one. But they've had good recovery time, you know, certainly having played Tuesday. That's a pretty good recovery time to Friday. And Rafa, you know, certainly everyone puts in their wish list, Kane, and Rafa's always keen to play, you know, certainly during the day with the heat where the balls can fly a little bit more for him.
He's an animal. He's an absolute animal. BP, enjoy the day, mate, and let's have our fingers crossed for Saturday night.
Indeed. One more to go.
Men's semi-final today. We'll be all over it on SEN. It's Rafa taking on Berrettini from 2:30, as we've just heard commentary from that man there, Johnny Drummond, and also Mark Woodford, one of the Woodies. Great to see him back behind the microphone. Daniil Medvedev, Stefanos Tsitsipas from 7 p.m. BP behind the mic again. Busy day for him. The super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6. It was as silent as the critics. Find out more at kia.com/au.